Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
Welcome into the show. It's a big day for you NFL nerds. I like call you nerds because if you're trying to decipher the schedule before you actually get real leaks from accredited or at least people you trust, you're a bit of a nerd, which is fine. You know, this show's filled with nerd stuff, but there are things such as NFL nerds, and you may be among them. We had a fake schedule release segment earlier today, and it was approached with a lot of, well, relative excitement until we started to get calls about, actually, you know, that week six game you think the Texans are playing, the Bears are scheduled to play somewhere else, and it's on their official site. So let's wipe that one away, as that particular schedule got picked apart until we're sure that three of the games on it are wrong. So when it happens, and if we actually get like real news, we'll bring it out. I'm sure Sean will hit the horn at some point if we get actual Texans news about a primetime game. I know a lot of people are excited about that, the possibility of playing the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. That's out there. I heard from a person who knows a person. They just happened to call the show and go, you know what? My friend is a Cowboys season ticket holder, and he believes that the Texans are going to play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. Cool. That happens to be true. Great. We're going friend of a friend or friend of a listener as source material for our schedule release information.
It's also friend who's a season ticket holder in Dallas thinks this will happen.
Yes, or he's heard. I'm not sure if the Cowboys had actually leaked that to their season ticket holders. Considering the friend has already told someone, that news would actually be out everywhere because no one's keeping that a secret.
Yeah, exactly.
So we don't know. So that's the story surrounding the NFL, as it is official schedule release day, and we're getting people with real information. I haven't seen anything real on the Texans so far, but if we do, we'll let you know. What happened last night in Major League Baseball, at least as far as the Astros are concerned, was a somewhat pedestrian win. Look, yeah, Caratini had a game-winning extra inning walk-off, but you know, with the way the rules are now, oh, he hit a single, and the guy was already on second, which I say kind of as if it doesn't mean very much. When Hader got out of a jam in the previous half inning where he walked a guy and then a sacrifice over to and made it second and third with one out, and he got found a way to get out of the inning. So he did his job. Ryan Pressly did not, as he gave up another run to tie the game after Alex Bregman had given the Astros a lead with his third homer in two nights. The cream continues to rise to the top. We heard that from Alex Bregman yesterday, or at least he said it on Monday night, but we played the sound yesterday about how, don't worry about him. He's going to be fine, and at least so far against the A's, he's proven himself to be right. But I'll ask you this, Sean. Out of all the storylines that came out of that game yesterday, you got Ryan Pressly giving up another run. You got Alex Bregman continuing his hot streak, and you had questionable material on Ronel Blanco's glove. Which one is the bigger story? I feel like it's pretty obvious, but you know, maybe I'm looking at it wrong in the wrong way, because Blanco is in line for a 10-game suspension. You know how I think about him. He's been the Astros' best story and consistently been their best pitcher, and was probably on his way to another good outing until the umpires got involved. So Pressly giving up a run, another one, Bregman staying hot, or Blanco possibly being suspended and definitely being thrown out of a game.
Not Captain Captain Clutch?
Caratini?
Victor Caratini?
No, only because he followed up his last clutch performance by one of the worst base running gaffes I've ever seen. So I'm just hoping he doesn't...
Stay tuned tomorrow.
He doesn't do, or tonight. I hope he doesn't duplicate that performance. So I'm going to wait. If he... I will retroactively make it a big storyline if he doesn't screw up today.
The biggest story, I mean, obviously, is the Renault Blanco getting tossed for the foreign substance on his glove, even though the foreign substance pretty clearly seems to be rosin.
According which to is, him and others, yeah.
Which isn't a foreign substance. It's just on the field right there. You can do that. But it was an issue with it being on his non-throwing arm, where it's supposed to be on your throwing hand. Like that's where it gets in the weeds very fast with the rules and the application of said rules with the getting tossed for the sticky stuff.
Yeah. And sticky stuff is such an odd way, not because of our sophomore jokes, but only because...
Did you see what the umpire said?
Yes, yeah, stickiest thing he's ever touched since they started doing this.
Since he was in high school.
Yeah. I made a joke and I said, if I'm Blanco, I'm going like, is it really the stickiest thing you've ever touched?
Stickiest thing? Come on.
Yeah, stop it. And even in baseball terms, rosin and sweat, we've seen people do videos on it. And once the rosin gets hit with some moisture, some humidity, and some sweat, it can become a very sticky substance. But so right now, it appears if they go by the letter of the law, the Astros are going to miss one of their best starters, if not their best starter this year, for at least two starts, which is unfortunate when that means some combination of Hunter Brown, maybe a Henley might get another start, depending on where they are in the rotation. Maybe Urquidy is back to take up Blanco's last missed start. Who knows? That's the spotter's job. And as long as he's communicating with people in a proper way, we can all feel good about his decision. And he's made some good decisions. Moving Pena up, whether Bregman likes it or not, moving him down was the right decision. And Espada has talked about it a couple of times, even yesterday before the game, after the Bregman two-homer night on Monday, that Bregman has hit the ball hard and just hadn't found spots where they could fall. And you could sense that something was going to turn around. And if he is a guy who can predict the future, maybe we should go to him for more answers on questions we need answers to, because now Bregman is hitting the baseball like we hoped he would. He feels good. The team is winning. And Espada has consistently said that they're too good to be playing the way they are, and eventually it'll turn around. And the A's were the perfect foil the last two nights, and the Astros will hope to continue this recent run of success tonight. And they've got a long homestand where they can gain some ground, and now they're 5.5 out because the top of the AL West isn't very good, which has been a saving grace. Thankfully, you got the Astros now 5.5 games back of the Mariners, as the Mariners and Rangers are going to kind of go back and forth on who's going to lead the division. The Rangers have now lost 5 in a row. The Rangers were clearly the best team in the AL West, at least standings-wise, until this recent run of being terrible, and that has helped the Astros. And the Mariners now lead the AL West with a 1.5 game lead over the Rangers and a 5.5 game lead over the Astros. So things looking up as far as the standings are concerned. The Blanco thing, unfortunate. It's a bit of a mark on what has been a really good story. We'll all forget. I mean, because, you know, cheating in baseball, whatever. And if it turns out to be just rosin, we can find a way to blame the umpires for being over penal when it comes to punishing Blanco. I mean, it's easy. We're already blaming them. We're already pulling up videos of the Dodgers getting away with stuff and other teams getting away with stuff. Hey, you just let him switch out his glove or just wash his hand, but not us. You've got it out for us. I don't know. I just know there's evidence, at least people think there's evidence, of a bit of unfairness going on. But mostly I care that Blanco was on his way to, it looks like, another good start, and that got short-circuited. And we're going to likely not see him for the next 10 games, or at least two starts in those 10 games.
Yeah, that's That's probably the most real world worst part about this is the suspension that's coming where he's going to miss the next 10 games. And this was already going to be a tough stretch where they didn't have any off days. So you're really asking a lot out of your pitching staff there. I will say, hats off to Astros Twitter. I know they get a hard time. They pulled those receipts on other glove
Real
checks
quick.
Very fast.
What do you think the search terms were? Do you think they already have them bookmarked or
Yankees substance?
Dodgers glove.
Glove.
Foreign substance. Is that what got all those videos to get pulled up? Look, we're in an age where everything gets pulled and put on Twitter so you can find them pretty quickly. I'm just wondering how long it took. I know it didn't take very long. I'm just trying to figure out how many searches did it take before they're like, this is unfair. They treat everyone else differently but us. I feel like they might have had some of these bookmarked because it's a Dodger cheating, so they're going to, look, you guys cheat too.
That's likely that they had it. They had the receipts already.
Just in case any Dodger fan had ever come to them talking about the Astros cheating, look at you guys, foreign substances on your gloves.
They just have a dossier of all the suspicious activity.
Keeping files on everyone.
Like the CIA.
Files on everyone. just make sure we'll have receipts for all of you. And they came in handy last night. But that's the A storyline. Presley giving up a run is like when you're watching a TV show or a movie, this particular episode isn't about the villain, but, you know, he gets one scene to remind everyone the villain still exists. Hey, we're going to get back to this guy in a later episode. That's what Presley is. Hey, he gave a run. The Astros found a way to win. So it's not a major deal, not a major storyline last night, but it's just a reminder that this guy's still out here and he's going to cause you trouble.
It's in the Batman movie, the Robert Pattinson Batman movie where, the Joker's here.
Yeah.
the Joker's in jail.
But yeah.
He's not the main point, but the Joker is in jail.
Yes. If you were wondering where the Joker was, he's around in this universe, and he just happens to be in jail. And that's Presley. Hey, he's still around, and he's going to cause you some issues, but you were able to avoid them last night.
Today was about the Riddler.
Yes, the Riddler. Yes, the umpire.
And that is the Yankees and Dodgers getting away with cheating.
Yeah, the Riddler, we're asking the questions here, unlike the Riddler. Why would this, in your best Brian Windhorst impression, why is this happening? Why are we being put upon? Presley giving up a run, I feel like that's just what it's going to be about. And it's unfortunate because he had a good outing the night before. You just can't expect consistency from this version of Ryan Presley. But it did not matter. Abreu, good hater, got himself out of a jam. And the Astros are now, maybe you can call it a streak. It's three wins in a row. Even over the course of a couple series, now you can give them two series wins in their last two. So if you're thinking about this team and stoking some positivity, you got Bregman. You got Hader, who has pitched well in his last couple of appearances. I'll give you those numbers when we come back. And you've got the team overall. And you can thank the AL West for not being very good. So we'll get more into the Astros. We'll see if any news comes down about Blanco. The expectation, at least what he put out there, is he's going to appeal the probable suspension. So if we hear about a suspension before the end of the show, we'll let you know about that. And like I said, if we hear anything about Texan schedule news, maybe we hear about some primetime games for them before we wrap it up today. We'll let you know about that as well. Just getting started here. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I said I'd give you those Josh Hader numbers before we went to break, so here they are. If you're wondering if you're sensing a positive turn for Josh Hader after what you can only say was an awful start, you'd be right. Now, sure, he's given up one run in his last seven appearances, so last seven games. So it ain't perfect. And I say that as I look at his game log, because the numbers are tweeted out, and you always want to check those to make sure they're right. Now, he was good last night, and he was good in his last appearance. But even now, I'm looking at these numbers, and they're wrong. So how can I trust you? How can I trust you when I can go through his game log and see that he's been credited with giving up two runs in his last in his last seven outings? Now, only one is earned, so I'll give him credit for that. But I'll give you the full numbers once Sean gives us the breaking news.
We have breaking news. Breaking Astros news.
Okay.
Involving a pitcher.
Okay.
The Astros have acquired minor league right-handed pitcher Luis Rodriguez from the Chicago White Sox in exchange for Corey Jolks.
So I looked up Luis Rodriguez and what he's accomplished, and it's next to nothing. But I guess the news is Corey Jolks is no longer part of the Astros organization.
Next to nothing yet.
Sure. We don't know what he'll become.
Future Cy Young winner.
But when we talk... Okay. Certainly a positive spin from Sean Mapes. Have you ever seen him pitch before?
I've looked at the numbers.
But that's not the question I asked. I asked a different question. I saw that he hasn't been above the complex league, whatever that might mean.
Yeah.
So he's a young pitcher.
Still, I assume.
Young. He's 20 years old. But I guess the news is Corey Jolks, who we've seen up and down, part of the Astros organization for years now, no longer part of it. So we've seen Brandon Belak get DFA'd. Corey Jolks has been traded. All the guys who we always wonder, why is that guy playing, are leaving now.
They're buying low on Luis Rodriguez,
yes.
I'll say.
They're not giving up much.
No. Well, also his 2024 stats, he's pitched in two games.
Mm-hmm.
Small sample size. Keep that in mind for what I'm about to say. 0-1 with a 7.36 ERA.
Does that make you feel great?
Still young. Four strikeouts, though.
But you're giving up Corey Jolks. What are we talking about here? But they did make
small
a move.
Small sample size.
Shout out to Dana Brown for making a move. Your quieter pitcher who we never see again, at least on the major league level or ever on the major league level. But we wave goodbye to Corey Jolks. Thanks for the memories. What's your favorite Corey Jolks memory?
Whenever he would do something and Jeremy Brandon would tweet out hashtag go Cougs.
Ah. So Jeremy making it about the Cougs and himself.
Well, and Corey Jolks.
Yeah, it's more about the Cougs.
He's doing the thing that where like Texas Tech is like the last two or three of the last four Super Bowl champions have had a Texas Tech quarterback where you're like,
yeah,
it's the one guy.
Yeah. And wouldn't you take more pride in if he actually won more games at your school? Like, we've talked about this before. When you need to celebrate the accomplishments of a single player when they go to the league because there are not many accomplishments to celebrate by your team, at the school's team, that's what you do. You hashtag go Red Raiders or guns up, whatever the hell they do. Or you go
Raiders in the NFL.
Yeah,
or I guess Red Raiders.
NFL, you and Miami people would celebrate. Look at our long consecutive streak of touchdown scoring. It was pretty long. I'm not gonna lie. It was pretty impressive how many. But that has long since ended because, well, the success on the college level ended. So you're not gonna put a lot of guys in the NFL who are gonna score touchdowns anymore.
And Reggie Wayne.
At some point, those guys gotta go. Frank Gore was carrying the load for years because he kept hanging on. But not anymore. Jimmy Graham and Frank Gore were the people we leaned on for years. But those guys aren't doing it anymore. So who do you depend on? The streak eventually comes to an end. Go Cougs. I don't know how good the baseball team is. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not that good.
Because they lost Corey Jolks.
And others. It's a talent drain for the Cougs baseball team. That's why they haven't had the success they're looking for. We'll see as they continue on in the Big 12 if they become one of the better Big 12 baseball schools. But yeah, Corey Jolks gone. And thanks, as Fall Out Boy would say, thanks for the memories, Corey Jolks. But first, a guy who provides great memories, questionable ones. I'm not sure if this is Keith. It says the real Keith. We'll see. That generally doesn't fool me. He wants to talk Astros, which is always a ploy to get into something else. What's up, real Keith?
Hashtag free Ranel Blanco. Those freaking umpires need to have a two-game sentence. Also, what do you think about Belle Delphine doing stuff on the internet. Let's go.
We don't even know if your real name is Ryan. So I don't know about Belle Delphine. I'd have to look her up. I don't think that's an actual Hollywood actress. That might be a woman who already does stuff on the internet. I don't know who that is. She's a media personality from South Africa. She's like a streamer. You got a better shot there. But as I look at her, she has over 2.4 million subscribers. So she's pretty damn popular. But this is more in the wheelhouse of you never ever know, and I'm sure she does things on the stream to get everyone more excited than they should because she's not really revealing anything. I'm gonna go because I don't know her work. I'm just looking at the numbers. I'm a numbers guy when it comes to stuff like this. Oh, she wears kitten ears.
Yeah, there's a couple pictures with her. With her tongue out.
Yeah, she does
rolling
that.
Her eyes back.
Yeah, she does that thing.
I think that bumps up the percentage.
It definitely suggests that at some point we might be going in a different direction if the streaming stuff stops working for her. I'm going to go with, I don't want to besmirch the name of Belle Delphine, but considering the images I've seen, no nudity, but like Sean said, the eye thing, the tongue out thing, the kitten ear thing, we're going to put this at 18%. 18. This is what I'm talking about, Ryan. You are drifting towards an OnlyFans being more and more of a possibility.
I have a story from the New York Post.
about Belle Delphine?
Yes. Should I hit the... No, not breaking news. Okay. This is from February. Belle Delphine shunned by her father after selling used bathwater online.
Oh, okay. So now I got to jump it up even more. If she's selling bathwater, which is... Whoa. 45%.
$43 a piece, by the way.
Well, the problem for her, pricey. Problem in the my percentage is 45 is probably too high, but the bathwater thing is a striking a chord with me. If she's so successful doing other things that she doesn't have to get the OnlyFans, I have to see if her subscribers have dropped, the interest has waned, and I don't have time for that right now. That would give me a chance to give you a real number, Ryan, but I'm going to leave it at 18%.
We'll do some research.
At 24%, because he's already selling bathwater. So, I'm sure she's a nice young lady, but she wears a pink wig and puts kitten ears on and does that tongue thing that Sean described. The percentages go up every time I see another picture, to be honest with you. to be honest with you. And she wears like a onesie on occasion, so you never know. You never know, Ryan. At least you pick someone under 35. It's not an ageism thing. It's just, hey. Some of the women you've chosen are accomplished in their fields and are older and probably aren't going to drift that way. She's only 24, according to Wiki. So, who knows? Sean, something happened in the Premier League that isn't really the point of the conversation that we're going to have a discussion about when we come back, but I want you to think about this. The manager for Tottenham, they played Man City. Man City's on their way to winning another title. The big discussion around this game was Tottenham is a rival of Arsenal. If Tottenham would have held Man City to a draw or won, they would have given Arsenal a clear path to win the league. So, Arsenal and Tottenham are their biggest rivals, each other's biggest rivals. So the question I'm going to ask you, and by the way, Tottenham has something to play for. If they would have won and won their next game, they had a shot to play in Champions League the following season. So it wasn't just like, oh, we can lose, throw this away, it doesn't matter, we're just screwing over Arsenal. So the question for me, and you have to think about question for you, and you think about it, I'll ask it to myself, I guess, and I'll have an answer too. Would you be like Tottenham fans and be so boisterous in wanting to lose the game because you didn't want your rival to have success that your own coach is yelling at you on the field of play about it, and then he went to the post-game presser and talked about there's issues with the foundations at Tottenham inside and out? Would you be so boisterous wanting your team to lose because your rival would have had success, knowing that you guys could have accomplished something as well? And I'll give you a scenario when we come back to provide more context. I thought it was crazy, particularly because of what Tottenham could accomplish and what it did to their manager, because he went on a rant afterwards about how things are broken at the club because of the attitude. Because I think he was suggesting that inside the club, people are like, hey, let's lose this game. We don't want Arsenal to win. So we'll talk about that. And how deep does your hatred for your rival go? where your own failures mean their failures, so you're A-OK with them. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. We'll get to the question I asked Sean before we went to the break. But first, Eric wants to talk about the Astros. All right, well, he usually wants to talk about the Astros, but it could be anything. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I was wondering why the first three innings they didn't find anything in Broncos Club. All of a sudden, in the fourth inning, they found something. And last year, I think it was Domingo German from the Dodgers. They found something. They just told him to wash his hands, and he can go back and pitch. And also, give me Cougars. I'm proud of them for taking the stand against the NFL. The Titans don't own the Oilers colors. Those belong to Houston. And did you see what Abigail that Dye was wearing today? She deleted her post again. I hang up and listen.
I did not see what Abigail Dye was wearing today. I was busy doing the whole producing thing. It didn't come up. I don't know what she wore, so I can't speak to that. Well, they checked and they didn't find anything, so it might lead to lead you to believe some of the reasoning that came from the Astros side is that, hey, he got sweaty and the stuff wound up in his glove. But I guess the rule is you can't have anything on your non-pitching arm anyway. So if he was using rosin on his left arm and they thought it was too unacceptable levels and it wound up in his glove, they're going to feel justified in saying he had to go. I don't know how stringent the testing is for Major League Baseball, and if rosin it simply mixed with sweat and humidity. And what if the glove? How does the glove get sent to New York? If there's no more moisture, then will it feel the same? How can they tell? I'm always interested in that. Well, we're going to send the glove to New York, but it's now under different conditions than the glove was in Houston.
It's no longer the stickiest thing you've ever felt.
Yeah, probably not, unless Blanco was actually using something that wasn't rosin. And that'll be something that'll be determined. And Eric mentions he's glad the Cougs stood up to the NFL. Well, they stood up to the Titans and the NFL, and rightfully so. You don't have any jurisdiction on us wearing the color blue or Columbia blue. How about we just don't call it Columbia blue? We call it H-Town blue, which is in fact a different color than what the Texans are calling H-Town blue. But I don't know why the NFL needed to dip into the college football ranks and decide to put their foot down. God forbid that a school in the town wanted to wear that color. And I agree. The Cougs did the right thing. Shut up, NFL. Mind your business. Stay out of Cougs business is what I'd say. We want to wear the color across all our sports, which I think is the plan going forward. It won't just be a Houston Cougars football color. Let them do it.
Yeah, could they wear it for basketball and be okay?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to, but yeah, I think they will be fine.
Just like theoretically,
yeah, I think so.
Could a baseball team?
Yeah, if it wasn't a football team originally, would they have cared? No, it just so happened to be on a football team, and they decided that's wrong. Sure, it's somewhat similar to the Oilers as far as design, but not really. I mean, as long as you keep an oil derrick off the helmet, you should be okay. We know what happened with the Renegades. Excuse me, not the Renegades, the Roughnecks. The Roughnecks when...
Not their hated rivals.
Yeah, that big rivalry. the Renegades who are the defending, and actually not even defending because you can't defend an XFL title anymore. Doesn't exist. But the Renegades, the XFL champions in its final, in the league's final season. I don't know how the Renegades are doing this year, and I'm not going to look it up.
I think they're pretty bad.
Good. We're glad. I don't know if the Roughnecks beat them. In fact, the Roughnecks did beat them because we have a caller who wants to proclaim himself a Renegade fan who didn't call the show after predicting a Renegade win. All of a sudden, he went silent.
Oof.
It's real tough not to back up all the ish you're talking about your UFL football team when they don't come through for you. Now you can't show your face.
I bet it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like because, again, I'm a Houston Roughneck fan.
Of course. We win games.
Actually, both teams are 1-6.
So they're both terrible. Oof. No, P.J. Walker ain't walking through that door, apparently.
No.
PJ's like, you damn right I'm not. I get NFL money.
Something has to go horribly wrong for me to walk.
I'm getting NFL checks even if it's third string. I'm not walking through that door. Julian, you want to talk? I guess we're going to get to the question I posed in the next segment because Julian wants to talk about Blanco too. What's up, Julian?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's
up? So first off, earlier y'all were talking about in the first show of the ESPN Houston. Y'all said six networks. You forgot Nickelodeon. They also do the telecast too. I mean, I know it's simulcast, but that's another one. All right, now what about last year when Herman got caught, and then when y'all got caught cheating with the whole scandal, the trash? What about the Yankees? What about the Red Sox? What about worrying about your damn selves, Houstonians? You got caught. You got caught, bro. Still. Eat it. Have a good one, fella.
Julian is playing the role of contrarian. He did that either, was it yesterday or Monday, where he did something like, stop, what? Something very along those lines as well about a Houston complaint that he didn't think was valid. And he put on a voice like that, at like
was
we were whining or something. Yeah, no.
Well, he's done that.
He's attacked Houston drivers, but this was something sports related. So this is his path. Anything that keeps you from doing that Niner gang thing, it's fine with me. That one, I won't stand for. If you want to call out Houston people for whining about getting unfairly punished, that's cool. It's a plight of being a fan. We all think we're the ones who are being set upon by the evil rulers in New York or wherever the head office is for a particular league. And, hey, they're out to get you. And you know what? They are out to get us, Julian, despite what you say. They're out to get us. Yeah, I don't mind the fans feeling that way, but I also kind of feel his way. I'm not going to yell at the fans for feeling a certain way. But, hey, you got caught. It happens. And you just hope, for Blanco's sake, I more care about Blanco, mostly because of what he's trying to accomplish this year. And it won't be something that's remembered heavily, but it is a bit of a stain. If it's found that he was using something other than rosin, then people start to go look into how he got to where he is. And all it's been is smooth positivity for Blanco. One of the only players you could say that about this year. So I hope it is just simply a buildup of rosin and sweat and moisture or whatever the hell else you can use as a reason for it to happen. And he's going to file the appeal. If it comes through and it works out where he doesn't get suspended for 10 games, great. Feels like he's going to get suspended for 10 games, though.
Yeah, yeah. If there's anyone that was having just like a no negatives, all positives season, it would be Ronel Blanco. And so that part sucks. Just the like, well, you know, it is. Because what's going to happen is he's not going to have like a 1.9 ERA for the rest of the year.
No.
And then it's going to be, ever since he got caught with the.
Yeah, if he comes off the suspension and he gets smacked around a couple of times. Oh, look.
He goes Hunter Brown mode, yeah.
I don't want that. Yeah, we've already got a nickname for Fromber tonight if he doesn't pitch well. They're calling him he was called JP Fromms. JP Fromms. I don't need any Ronel mashups with JP Francis' name. I don't need that. I want that guy to pitch really well beyond, you know, team success for his success. This is a dream for him and his already a little tainted if he was cheating or if the umpires, despite their statements about the stickiest thing they've ever felt since they've been doing this, even if that isn't true, I hope that we don't have to deal with the Blanco suspension because he's been really, really good. We'll get to my question about how much do you hate your rival and what you would root against your own team, if you would root against your own team's success just to see the other team not have an ultimate success. But I'm looking at the Deshaun Watson new tattoo, and I don't really care about the Jilly thing. That's the name of his girlfriend. Put your girlfriend on your back. I don't care. There's a lot of tattoos on his back that I think people are missing out on, except for this one person who quote-tweeted the picture and said, is that MLK in a fitted? And, in fact, it is. Deshaun Watson, what you would call at this point a lower back tattoo where MLK is, he has Martin Luther King in a, could be a snapback, but it looks like a fitted hat. And I think it says, have a dream.
I was going to ask what, on the, was on the, it Atlanta Braves?
No.
Or,
okay. That would be sacrilegious. No, it just says, have a dream. if this wasn't bad enough. Okay, let me ask you, Sean, although you're probably not in a place to answer the question. We'll see if you can dance around it. What's more inappropriate? Putting Martin Luther King on your back in a fitted for a tattoo, or what Florida State did when Willie Taggart was there, and on Martin Luther King Day, they used Martin Luther King's face in their graphic that said "Do something," and him doing the tomahawk chop
in receiver gloves.
In receiver gloves, yes. Which one do you find more inappropriate? I think this is a question anyone can answer.
Yeah, no, I was really worried about what kind of spot you'd put me in with the MLK one. Because they're both MLK related, so I'm not making light of the sacrilege.
It's just people using MLK in a fashion I wouldn't have thought they would. That's all.
The Florida State thing's pretty bad.
That's crazy.
Because they're like Deshaun Watson having a tattoo with him in a fitted. That's not good, but also it's Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, once his shirt's off, you'll never see it. And it's not promoing anything. Like, yeah. That was Willie Taggart's slogan for his program, do something. And he's got MLK. The fact that you remember the receiver glove thing, chef's kiss. I forgot about it. I remember.
That's the funniest. That to me is the funniest part.
The tomahawk chop in receiver's gloves for MLK.
Because him just doing the tomahawk chop, it would just look like you could just get a picture where he's giving a speech and his arm is out like the chop.
Yeah.
But then they had to take it one step further, I assume, by photoshopping receiver gloves onto his
If you were wondering if MLK would have played a skill position, we have an answer for you. He's a five-star wide receiver or corner. You never know what position he would have played. But shout out to Deshaun Watson. There's a lot of tattoos. There's the NFL logo on there. But what stood out to me was he's got Martin Luther King Jr. in a fitted hat. Yeah.
What do you think the tattoo artist says when you like? And what I'm thinking for this area is Martin Luther King. They're like, cool, cool, cool. In a fitted hat, huh? What?
Yeah, I'm sure that tattoo artist has seen figures like Martin Luther King put on people.
I was going to say, has seen Martin Luther King in a fitted hat before.
But no, I haven't. I don't know if anyone's seen it until now. I don't know if he's ever had the opportunity to put a fitted hat. And then next to that, a giant diamond. And then maybe a ring from the Clemson championship year. There's a lot of things on here.
It's his entire back.
Yes, it's filled up. But I guess Jilly, his current girlfriend is the latest tattoo, and he wanted to show everyone. But shout out to Deshaun, Martin Luther King. That's how you remember him. You can't even see it. He'll never see it unless he's got a second. Unless he's standing in front of a mirror with a hand mirror that he can look down on. It's an interesting place to put all those. Yeah, whatever. I'm not a tattoo guy, so let me not speak on it too much. You will like a tattoo. You like a tattoo, but Martin Luther King in a fitted on your lower back. Yeah. All right, we'll move on. Not much to say other than that. We will get to the how much do you hate your rival question when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. We'll do this quick here. We're late. But Ange Postecoglou, he is the Greek-born manager for Tottenham. He grew up in Australia, so that'll explain the accent you're about to hear. He's a manager for Tottenham. They had a game last night, at least for them. It was afternoon for us against Man City. I kind of explained it earlier, but if Tottenham had held Man City to a draw or beaten them, it would have given Tottenham's biggest rival, Arsenal, a chance to win the title on Sunday through goal differential. But because Man City won the game 2-0, if they win their last game, they're winning the title. So Tottenham fans didn't want Arsenal to win the title. So they were more than happy with losing the game, even if it meant not making Champions League, which is a big thing to make. It would be big for Tottenham. They're not always there. They're generally always on the fringes. I'll give you some context of what that might mean in American sports. I was trying to figure out what the proper comp would be, and I'll ask Sean the question, see if he agrees. But first, let's hear from Ange Postecoglou about what he thinks, considering around what he thinks about the conversation surrounding the game and the fans and even inside the club.
Just one of these where you can at least see the foundations of what you're building, maybe for next season?
No, I think the last 48 hours has revealed to me the foundations are fairly fragile, mate. So, how do you mean? That's what I feel. I just think that's, like I said, the last 40 hours has revealed a fair bit to me, and that's all right. That just means I've got to go back to the drawing board with some things. Not interested, mate. Don't care. Outside, inside, everywhere. It's been an interesting exercise.
He had pushed back all week about this. Hey, wouldn't it be great for you guys not to win because we don't want Arsenal to have any success? He goes, no, you go out and win the match. This is what we're here for. And they continue. I mentioned earlier that he was yelling at a supporter during the game because they were yelling at him about wanting to throw the match. So he wasn't thrilled with the conversation. You heard his after-match comments. So, Sean, I posed a question to you, and I was trying to find the right scenario, and I think I found it, but I had to ask some context because in European soccer, they're all single-table leagues where there are no playoffs. Whoever has the best season wins the title. You don't get to the playoffs and do a single elimination thing. And also you have these other competitions you're trying to challenge for, like the Champions League. I mentioned Tottenham wins the last two. They had a real shot of getting to the Champions League. Now they don't. They are put in a lower European competition because of the loss. So if I put it to you this way, you can choose your biggest rival, Oklahoma or A&M. Which one?
Oklahoma.
Okay, Oklahoma. You're going to be in the same conference. Let's say we go back to last year, and for whatever reason, you lose all of your out-of-conference games, so you don't have a chance at a national title, but you win all of your conference games, and you beat, and you make it to the, in this case, the Big 12 title game. Oklahoma, they won all their games in out-of-conference, and for whatever reason, they lost to you, obviously, and they lose a tiebreaker in the single table that the Big 12 has been the last couple of years. So another team, let's say they lose another team that they didn't play. Let's say Kansas.
They lost to Kansas.
Or maybe, no, let's say they didn't lose to Kansas.
They lost to Oklahoma State. But,
you just want to give them losses. I get it. Let's just say they don't lose to Kansas. Kansas makes, because they didn't play them, Kansas makes it to the Big 12 title game against Texas. Texas can't win a national title, but Kansas is the only thing standing in the way. A Kansas win is the only thing standing in the way of A&M sneaking into the playoff because they were great outside of the loss to you, and Kansas has a loss. They're not going to put a two-loss Kansas team into the playoff. They would put a one-loss Oklahoma team into the playoff. Would you want your team, who can't get to the playoff, to beat Kansas so A&M would get into the playoff?
Or
would you drop Oklahoma? Yeah, Oklahoma get into the playoff. Or would you?
Because Oklahoma lost to Kansas.
Understood. But in this scenario, they've only lost to you. They're a one-loss Oklahoma team who isn't in the Big 12 title game.
It's hard. It is hard to.
Now you get a Big 12 title on your way out the door. You do have that, but you don't. But you're not eligible for the playoff because you've lost too many out of conference games. You have four losses.
I think you try to screw over your rival.
So you would rather lose to Kansas and have Kansas play in the playoff instead of winning a Big 12 title? Just to keep A&M out. That's why I gave you a chance to win something, because Tottenham had a chance to win something if they would have won the last season.
But they have a chance to have a chance the next. Like, it's not win and in. Like, if they had won yesterday,
they would have had to win and then win again.
Who are they playing next?
I don't know. Some team they probably could beat.
Okay. Because just how likely it is. You know, they're not mathematically eliminated, but it's unlikely.
They wouldn't have controlled their own destiny because the team they're fighting against would have still had a chance. But now this officially eliminates them from achieving something, which would, in a loss to Kansas, keeps you out of the Big 12 title, keeps you from winning a Big 12 title on your way out, keeps you out of a big-time bowl game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you would you rather throw the game to keep A&M out of the playoff? Because, you know, making the difference is A&M makes the playoff doesn't mean they're winning the title. I'm even giving you a lesser chance because Arsenal would have likely won the league.
You know what? Now I changed my mind. I think I'm with Ong.
Big Ange.
Ange. Yeah, I think I'm with Ange on this one because, yeah, you play to win the game.
But you contemplated it.
But I did contemplate it. It's natural to contemplate it. I'm not the one out there actually has to play the game.
Well, he's talking about people inside the club who are like, you know what?
Well, that's why they don't win anything.
Yeah, they're Tottenham
that's
for a reason.
Part of it. I feel like that needs to be said, that this team never wins anything
it's
anyway.
True. They never win anything. They're always on the outside. They made one Champions League final the last four or five years. I think they lost to Liverpool in the Champions League final maybe 4 or 5 years ago now.
They're
Tottenham. I mean, what that means to people here, it's like saying, oh, they're the Cowboys. Not even Cowboys. The Cowboys have had past success. I'm trying to think. They're this version of the Cowboys. Oh, they're the Cowboys. Yeah, they have a good year, but they're never going to win anything. Texas A&M doesn't have the years that Tottenham has. So I can't even give them that. Maybe they're Oklahoma. Oklahoma won one title in like 2000.
Yeah.
They're more like Oklahoma. They're always around. They're always pretty good. But yeah, they're Oklahoma. We know they're not going to come through. I think that's a better comp right now for them, which fits our discussion.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. We're out here to try to win, particularly because it wouldn't guarantee one of my hated rivals. It wouldn't guarantee Florida State a title. It would put them in the playoff in this scenario that I put out there, but they still have to go win two more games. Now, if it was like the BCS era and they're going to play and they just make sure somehow, some way it guarantees them a top two spot, then I might have some real doubts.
Yeah. And there's also the case where Tottenham is playing a team that is better than them. So there's a chance that even if you do fully compete on the level and try to win,
that you're going to lose anyway.
You're just going to lose.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting the players didn't try hard. It's just,
I don't know.
Who knows?
I didn't watch, so I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they tried hard.
Yeah,
did they run out of competitive line?
Yeah, it was 1-0 until like the 86th minute, and then they had a chance. One of their best players had a chance to score the equalizer. Great stop by the goalie. Okay, you think he screwed up on purpose. That's fine. It's conspiracy time. And then they eventually lost 2-0. I think a penalty at the end gave Man City a clear win. So
refs handed it to him.
Cheating refs want Man City to win. Just much like what happens in our town when they screw over our Astros. Mm-hmm. So I'm right there with you. But if you give me a scenario where it's like a guaranteed, like, let me give it to you this. Like, if the Celtics were guaranteed something, if the Heat lost, they'd be like, we're not going to win anything anyway. Well, let's make sure the Celtics don't get this.
Yeah, you do get this a lot, and it's a little bit different because you don't get handed a title. But this reminds me a little bit of the last day of the NBA regular season.
Yeah.
Where you see a lot of nonsense go on where that's why I was asking what lineup Tottenham put out there, because you'll see like the Clippers just put out like an absolute trash lineup because they want to be the 5 seed and not the 6 seed, or they want to be the 4 seed and not the 3 seed for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to get a matchup. And so, Cleveland did it this year.
Yeah, and they
shamelessly, they out-tanked the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, somehow, some way, had Tristan Thompson running point at points.
Yeah, they weren't even playing playing Denver.
Yeah,
and they tried to throw the game. It's like, guys, I don't think Charlotte. You need to try that hard.
Yeah, they were playing. Yeah, they were playing it out with backup guards. They weren't using their starters, and then they realized, oh yeah, we're probably going to win this game.
Let's just put out all centers.
Yeah, so we're not going to play any perimeter players and see how it goes. And eventually they lose to Charlotte. I agree with the manager, but it is tough as a fan. Particularly these fans have been rooting for this team. At least, well, they haven't. They haven't been alive that long. But the club's been around for over 100 years. So I get it. You've been born and bred to hate Arsenal. Understood. But the Champions League is a big deal. Not that you would have won it because you're Tottenham. You don't win anything ever. But he's a guy who's been there a short time, so he's not. What are we talking about here?
He doesn't know that.
Why are we trying to lose games? And he was furious about it.
I actually think it's okay for fans to root for the loss. I don't think it's okay for the inside the building.
Yeah,
rough. I think like you have to play it straight. But did they help their draft pick by losing?
You don't get draft picks in European soccer.
Then why even lose? What's the point of losing?
Only in a, draft picks only happen in this country.
So they don't have a chance to draft Reed Sheppard now?
No, they don't have to draft the new Steph Curry, according to one
side-by-side comparison.
Draft prognosticator, at least draft analyst. I'm being a little harsh. He just said his physical attributes match Steph Curry's, which I guess they're both 6'3". They weigh about the same. Sure. But there are a lot of 6'3 guys under 200 pounds you could have chosen.
I think what makes Steph Curry special is the all the other stuff.
Yeah, not how big he is. In fact, the fact that he's able to overcome that and be a great player is the point of Steph Curry. He's not LeBron James. He's not Paul George. He's not Kawhi. He was at one point a very skinny guard who you would not undersize for point guard, but undersized as maybe a star player. And he has overcome all that because he's the greatest shooter a lot of us have ever seen. That'll wrap up hour one. And Sean and I are on the same wavelength with that. I want my guys to go out there and try to win, because if they don't care, it speaks to what they are as a club, organization, or program. But I'm well within my rights to be like, you know what? It wouldn't be so bad if we lost. That's sometimes how you have to think. But don't yell at the coach about it. Maybe you're going a little bit too far. We're done with hour one. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.